One of the beautiful edifices of regeneration is somewhat neglected by many a Christian today. And things that define who we are, what you hold on to, things that we ought to treasure the more. Other people are so ashamed to affirmatively speak of Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I want us to just be reminded of who we are once again and what has made us be who we are and why we are gathered here today, and especially having the table of remembrance laid before us. So we are not doing an exposition of Hebrews 9 and 10, but just getting some excerpts from the passages laid before us to convey the thought as we together contemplate this cross. Things that we need to be reminded of. Firstly, in fact, there are three things. How we were not saved. We should know that salvation, which we have received from the Lord, did not come to us as a result of the works we did. That's something we need to appreciate. Our pardon, forgiveness, did not come to us because we did something. We did not work for this salvation. It's not as a result of works, as Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 says. This did not come to us according to what we did, but it is all by the grace of God, and He saved us on the basis of the works of Christ, or the work of Christ on the cross. Something we need to be reminded of and be appreciative of. In fact, Augustine once said, "Free will without grace has the power to do nothing." If we decided, if we did this by ourselves, we are not regenerate. It has to be Christ and Christ alone. And someone also said this regarding the conversion of man, or our conversion, that salvation is from God. He must give understanding, and He must give the sight, He must give the faith, He must give repentance, He must totally transform the sinner. In other words, salvation begins with God, it continues with God, and it ends with God. Everything is about God. And that is how we are saved. God saved us. And we also need to know that we are saved for a reason. We are saved for a reason. We are not saved so that we can fold our arms and forget about the essence of the salvation that came to us. We are saved so that we can be the feet, the arms, the voices to proclaim the greatness of God. It's a challenge to all of us. It doesn't matter how long we have walked with Him. And I dare say that there is no retirement with God and our service to Him. Until we breathe our last, we have to make His name known. Until we breathe our last. Spurgeon says, "A man who is really saved by the grace of God does not need to be told that he's under solemn obligation to save Christ. The new life within him tells him so." So no one should come and push us. "You are a believer and live like one." No, we have to know. Provided the Lord saved us, we are under solemn obligation to serve Him. And therefore, I just want to remind us of the cross. What did Jesus do that has made us who we are, which should compel us to live for His glory and for our good? Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. These are two passages which, like bridges between the Old Testament and the New Testament and what Jesus has done. these two sections emphasizes the end of the old covenant and how all the things under the old covenant were done, and how the things under the new covenant, under the blood of Christ, are done, and what Jesus Christ did. So by the death of our Savior on the cross, firstly, Christ is stood as the final sacrifice for sin. That's one thing I want us to observe as we consider, or rather contemplate, the cross. In Hebrews chapter 9, and reading especially from verse 24, I'll read from verse 23, but verse 24. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. And then verse 24. For Christ has entered not into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. So Christ being the final sacrifice, what is it that Jesus provided? Because there is the language of the tent. There is, if you were to read the section, there is the language of the tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ supersedes all that. And he was but the very final sacrifice. His body is one of the things that we need to consider, because as we contemplate on the table, it's reflective of the body of Christ that was broken for us. So the Lord himself prepared the body, and that body was that of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, verse 5 through 7, therefore when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you prepared for me. In all burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will, O God. But the emphasis that his body, the fact that the body of Christ was made ready or available, that negates all the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. The body of Christ, the sinless man, the Messiah himself, his body was deemed worthy to be the sacrificial, to be sacrificed for our sins. In verse 11 and verse 12 of chapter 10, it says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's verse 11 and verse 12. And him sitting down conveys the thought of the reality of him having accomplished all that which his Father had sent him to do. He has returned in his position, the position of worthiness, and is reigning as King and as Lord and soon to return. This great King, he had made ready his body to be sacrificed. And therefore Christ had said, this is my body. This is my body. In Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 22. The second thing that was accomplished on the cross with regards Christ, why did Jesus become? Christ was the propitiation that satisfied the wrath of God. He was the propitiation that satisfied the wrath of God. And we are talking about his death here. These two terms, there are two terms, propitiation and expiation. Those should come into view. To Propitiate is to turn away or to take away wrath, to appease and please the one who's offended. And in this regard, we have God, who is offended as a result of our sinfulness. We stand as his enemies. And it means there's nothing we could do to atone for our sins. So this perfect body of Christ was made ready to be sacrificed and to take away, to turn away that wrath. I tend to look at propitiation in this way. It's like the Lord's bow and arrow of his wrath is pulled and launched. As the arrow is coming almost to strike me, the Lord Jesus Christ stands in, and the Father in heaven is pleased by his act. He's willing, his son is willing to receive all that wrath in himself so as to shield me from facing it. Expiation does not really carry the idea of taking away the wrath of God, or rather satisfying the wrath of God, but rather removing. So to some extent, these two ideas, they do come in play when it comes to our understanding of what Jesus Christ did on the cross on our behalf. This is what R.C. Sproul said with regards these two explanations. It started with expiation. He says the prefix, the ex, means out of or from. So expiation has to do with removing something or taking something away. In biblical terms, it has to do with taking away guilt from the payment of a penalty or the offering of an atonement. And then he says there is, by contrast, propitiation has to do with the object of expiation. So we are the object of God's wrath, basically. He says the prefix pro means for. So propitiation brings about a change in God's attitude so that he moves from being at enmity with us to bring us closer to himself. Through the process of propitiation, we are restored into fellowship and favor with him. We just read 1 John 2. That term is used. So the wrath of God is taken away from us by his death. So Christ had to become sin, to use the language of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He had to become sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God. It was through his death. And our sinfulness, which the Lord Jesus Christ atoned for, it's not like we sinned not entirely. We sinned entirely. There wasn't like an ounce of sin that was not offensive before God. Therefore, when Jesus came and died on the cross, that sin, he let us deal with it. That every single sin, every solitary sin, was propitiated for. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved you, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. It's a great love of God. Romans 3:21 through 25. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption. That word is the word of death, redeeming. There is blood involved. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, he restored us back to God. There is no sin that will be held accountable for. Christ did it all for us. Thirdly, Christ paid the redemption price to purchase the guilty sinners. He paid the redemption price. So we've seen his body, his death. We come to his blood. The same Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 6 up to verse 28. We can read in our own time. It's a longer passage. But that's a bloody section, especially from verse 21. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that is in sync with what Jesus did. His blood. It's through his blood that he redeemed all the sinners for God. There is a hymn which I think we have sung it here, or you've sung it in our not being here in previous times, but Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, which is true. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thy power alone can chain the leper's pot and melt the hearts of stone. Jesus paid it all, or to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow through his blood. For nothing good I have whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. And it is through his blood. Fourthly, Christ was a ransom paid to redeem sinners. He did that with his life. Of himself Christ said this: even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So our Savior, the Lord Jesus, knew the reason for his coming to earth. It's amazing that in chapter 2 of John, he was already speaking about his death. Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it in 3 days. Destroy this temple. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 through 6, Paul said this of Christ: for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Now, ransom is to buy back. You are paying something which that individual held in captivity is unable to pay. So we see, when we look at Christ being the ransom for sinners, his mercy is revealed in this section. And how compassionate he is to us. He knows that you are unable, but he was willing. He was willing. Fifthly, Christ made reconciliation between God and man. By his death, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled man with God. His substitutionary atoning death made us stand before God more accepted. Even as he came as Christ, he fulfilled these three offices as a priest, as a prophet, as a king. And when he died on the cross, he did it absolutely. And he reconciled men with God. The same 2 Corinthians 5, which we've been studying in the afternoon, we have a better grasp on this idea of how we once were enemies of God. Now we stand as children of God. We're embraced in his love, accepted. And the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, intervened between man and God. And he did so to the extent of his personal cost. He restored us back to God. Christ was sacrificed once for all. Once and for all. That anyone who would believe in him would be reconciled back to God. I think it's just prudent for us to read those verses. We can go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We will just read the verses without much explanation over those verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. We are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his plea, rather appeal, through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the reason for our reconciliation. Sixthly, Christ justified guilty sinners, satisfied God's holy justice. I think I will not belabor that point. I've already gone over that. But just to read maybe two texts and then move on. In Isaiah 53 and verse 11, There the Lord God says this through Isaiah, out of the anguish of the soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, or rather to be counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Satisfied our Lord and his just demands. In Acts chapter 13, 38 through 39, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And there is Romans 3, verse 23 and following. Coming back to Hebrews chapter 10, just to look at the last two ideas, and then we call it a day. In the seventh place, Christ sanctified and set apart as holy them for whom he died. So we are holy, and we are being sanctified, and it is all because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, chapter 10 and reading from verse 10 also. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And I love the emphasis of once for all. He will never have to do it again. It is done. And should be chapter 2 of the same Hebrews and verse 11. Chapter 2 and verse 11. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. So there's so much that our Savior accomplished for us. When we say we are so undeserving, I don't know how much of time we spend to just think about that. He did so much for us. He did so much for us. And the last place, Christ perfected once for all those he bought, justified, and sanctified. Chapter 10 and verse 14. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. For all time. We are made perfect. Our perfection does not come from what we do, but it comes from what Christ has done for us. And we are perfected. We are being perfected. This just brings to mind of how often we fall, how often we sin, how often we offend God. But the Lord Jesus Christ has, by one single offering, he has perfected us. He has made us worthy before God. So even as we partake of this table laid before us, these are things that should flow in our mind. When the Lord Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, this reality should be fully embedded on our minds. Think through them, contemplate them. Because he did it all, not for himself, but for us. To commend us before God. To cause us to stand justified for his glory and for our good. I just want to close with this hymn. It's a recent hymn written by the man called Steve Fry. It says, let it be said of us that the Lord was our portion, rather our passion, that with gladness we bore every cross we were given, that we fought the good fight, that we finished the course, knowing within us the power of the risen Lord. And the chorus goes like this. Let the cross be our glory. Let the Lord be our song. by mercy made holy, by the Spirit made strong. Let the cross be our glory and the Lord be our song, till the likeness of Jesus be through us made known. Let the cross be our glory and the Lord be our song. May that be true of us, even today and the days to come. Shall we pray together? Oh, Father, we thank you for the privilege of sonship. And we thank you also for the accomplishments of our Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, for such a people as us, so undeserving of your great love. And yet he came forth, put on the flesh of man, ridiculed by his enemies. We also ran away from him. He pursued us, saved us, made us his own. And he commended us before you that we are reconciled to you, that we are your children. We thank you, Father, for that great privilege. And even as we contemplate the cross, as we engage our minds because of the table that's laid before us, these excerpts that we have heard today, may they be so fresh and so real to us that Christ is our all in all. We ask all these things in his name. Amen.